1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in New York. Georgia's Senate runoff is a wrap, and the victory goes to the incumbent. Reporter Veronica Waters with our affiliate WSB has our top story from Atlanta.
The vote was close, but in the end, Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock defeated Republican Herschel Walker, the handpicked candidate of Donald Trump.
It is my honor to utter the four most powerful words ever spoken in a democracy. The people have spoken.
Warnock's victory speech touched on history, family, religion, voter suppression, and promises to continue his bipartisan work in Congress.
After a hard-fought campaign, you've got me for six more years.
Former NFL star Walker had words of wisdom for his supporters.
Stay together. Continue to believe in our elected official. Always, always cast your votes no matter whatever is happening.
Warnock's victory gives Democrats a clear 51-49 majority in the Senate. Jurors in New York City have found Donald Trump's business organization guilty of tax fraud and other crimes. CBS's Scott McFarland.
Trump himself was not charged in the case, but prosecutors argued in court he knew about the fraud. His company now faces up to $1.6 million in fines.
This is day four with no power for tens of thousands of people in Moore County, North Carolina, and it could be the last. Duke Energy says it's working to restore electricity to everyone there by tonight after a gunfire attack on two substations. More from CBS's Dan Lieberman.
Investigators said the search for a motive is ongoing and that the perpetrator knew exactly what they were doing to cause the damage they did. Meanwhile, volunteers set up emergency food and water giveaways to help residents still in the dark.
China is doing an about-face on COVID. After mass public protests, citizens will no longer have to show negative test results in public places, and anyone with mild symptoms will be able to quarantine at home. But Yang Wanyan with the country's National Health Commission says China's not fully prepared.
Compared with European and American developed countries, we're trailing behind with regard to health resources for every 1,000 people in terms of doctor numbers and intensive care unit numbers.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were honored with the RFK Ripple of Hope Award in New York City last night. The late senator's youngest daughter, Rory Kennedy.
We're so proud of their work on racial justice and on mental health parity and awareness and the multitude of things that they've done, showing up when people really need them.
The Sussex's Netflix docuseries debuts tomorrow. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You
can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You could ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
AM.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, good morning, Wisconsin. How are you? Nice to see you here. Hey there. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Wednesday, December 7th. And if I sound a little discombobulated, just give a listen to this. This is why I'm discombobulated, and I will tell you why in just a second. But first, coming up this morning, it was a rainy night in Georgia. It was a rainy day in Georgia. Kept some folks away, especially those who didn't vote early. And as a result, Raphael Warnock has won election to a full term in Georgia, defeating Trump's handpicked candidate, Herschel Walker. We'll talk about that at some point this morning. It was a very bad day for Trump overall. The special counsel that is investigating his 2016 election interference, or 2020 election interference, I should say, has subpoenaed officials in several states, including 19 subpoenas that went out to officials in Wisconsin, to learn a bit more about Trump's efforts and the efforts of his aides and allies to interfere with the will of the voters in the 2020 election. There is another new report about the size of the big budget surplus. It's a record surplus. It's something that could be, such good things could be done with it for Democrats and Republicans, for taxpayers and businesses and, you know, educators and everything. There's so many good ways to do it. Will Republicans still find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory? We will talk to my friend Jeff Smith from the Wisconsin State Senate about that. What were Wisconsin Republicans in the legislature talking about yesterday? TikTok. That's their focus. Not inflation, not crime. TikTok. So, you know, they got that going for them. Let's see. This day in music history, we will all go kung fu fighting, and we'll talk to Todd Alba at the end of the show and preview what he has got coming up on his fine program. To reach us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Our phone number is 715-388-7155. Aaron's here in the producer chair down in Madison. Mr. Summers, how are you?
Doing pretty well this, excuse me, doing pretty well this morning, as much as it might not sound like it.
I know, same here. We're both, I'm still fighting this minor head cold, but you know, it doesn't take much when you have to talk for 2 hours for it to get in the way. And then, as if that weren't enough, I have these technical difficulties to tell you about, which is about the clacking here. I do this show at home from an iMac, and then I have a soft touch wireless keyboard that is, you know, that, so it's wireless, and it's been nice. It's got a very soft touch to it. It must be getting near the end of its life. If Aaron looked at the show notes a little bit earlier, he might have noticed that it was many pages longer, full of white space and weird symbols, because much like the old Police album, there was a ghost in the machine, and it would not stop typing gibberish. It basically was either a poltergeist or, you know, an exorcism situation. Finally got that disconnected from Bluetooth, and I had to bring out the old clickety-clackety keyboard here, so my apologies. You're going to hear me pounding out notes throughout the course of the day here, and then I'm going to have to go find myself a new soft-touch keyboard. But Aaron, I'll tell you, until you remember that you can unplug it through the Bluetooth while you're trying just to figure out how to get a key unstuck, it's a little unnerving to watch your screen doing all kinds of things you did not ask it to do.
Yep, I can imagine. I know I've had similar things, not necessarily with keyboards, but with like game controllers, especially the Nintendo Switch is known for its Joy-Con drift, where the joystick will just pick a direction and decide that it is going in that direction.
Mm-hmm. I thought, well, thank goodness I don't have like any Zoom interviews to tape or anything like that, because until I dug out the old keyboard, I mean, I was without a steering wheel, basically on the car. And so hopefully this keyboard works just fine, because, you know, you start to realize how dependent you can be on technology at times. Let's see. Let's look at sports here. We have the Badger men's basketball team hosted Maryland and was able to defeat 13th-ranked Maryland 64-59. Marquette beat North Carolina Central 90-78. Let's see. Jim Leonard says he will not return as the Wisconsin Badgers defensive coordinator in 2023. Leonard says he will coach the Badgers through the Guaranteed Rate Bowl on December 27th in Phoenix, and then we'll head on to, you know, greener pastures from there. The Milwaukee Bucks will host Sacramento tonight. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off on Bally Sports. And the NCAA volleyball tourney resumes tomorrow. And I recall that yesterday at about this time, I was a little confused about the pairings. And so I'm going to go through those right now. Thursday, tomorrow, is the Sweet 16. The winners move on to play again on Saturday in the Elite Eight to see who qualifies for the Final Four. The Badgers are a one seed, and they will play at the Fieldhouse in Madison. They will host number four seed Penn State. That will be on ESPNU. It will be 30 minutes after the first game tomorrow, and that one is the two seed Pitt versus the three seed Florida. Again, that's 2:30 tomorrow afternoon at the Fieldhouse on ESPNU, followed 30 minutes later by the Badgers Penn State. Marquette is still in the tournament. They're in Austin for the Austin Regional. They're a four seed. They take on number one seed Texas on ESPN2 tomorrow. And then if they advance, they'll take on the winner of Minnesota versus Ohio State. So there we've outlined what's going to be happening with the NCAA and the defending national champion, Wisconsin Badgers. And if time allows later, we're going to tell you how Brett Favre no longer owes the state of Mississippi $1 million. It turns out he owes the state of Mississippi about $5 million for some of his legal woes. So we'll see about getting into that and much more coming up. First, let's start with this break and then some more headlines. This is Up North News Radio.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Daytime highs approaching 38 today under overcast skies. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 27 tonight. Mainly cloudy skies. Cloudy tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 38. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Oh, I could listen to Brooke Benton all day, do a rainy night in Georgia. It's just apropos that, you know, it was rainy yesterday during that special election for U.S. Senate, and that probably didn't help Herschel Walker at all. Although, again, to watch the results as they were coming in last night, it didn't look good for Walker regardless. I had it on NBC most of the time, and of course, anybody that watches that knows I'm going to be referencing Steve Kornacki. He of the khakis and the all-night shift, pointing out this board and that board and this county and that county. And even though the race appeared neck and neck for several hours and Herschel Walker taking the lead several times, when you break it down on a county-by-county basis, Kornacki was able to show how Walker was not picking up any ground from where he was in November when he got fewer votes than Raphael Warnock. And that's the way it stayed all evening. As a result, the Senate election is done. The 2022 midterms are finally done. And it ends with Warnock defeating Walker and ensuring that Democrats have an outright majority in the Senate for the rest of Joe Biden's current term in office. And making sure that the so-called red wave was a complete bust. I mean, Republicans did take control of the House, but by single digits. This is pretty much unheard of in, you know, recent history. The party in power in the White House typically loses big. They lose dozens of House seats. They lose control of the Senate. Democrats actually picked up a Senate seat, and Republicans have such a thin majority. It's still not clear that Kevin McCarthy actually has the 218 votes needed to become Speaker of the House. So there could be, I'm not promising there it'll happen, but there still is the potential for tremendous chaos just for Republicans to elect a Speaker, much less going forward and you know, doing whatever it is that they'll do. And as we discussed yesterday, what they're going to do is a lot of phony investigations. I mean, Hunter Biden and COVID vaccines and things like that, even though they told their voters, you know, it's all about inflation and crime and things like that. But we're just not going to see a lot of that coming up. You know, these are folks who, again, have that slim majority because they were able to gerrymander districts in at least two different states. They were able to use maps that courts had thrown out, but that higher courts had either left in place or, you know, that they basically ignored and kept in the court process. What I'm saying is it's not a legitimate majority. And we know that. We know that, you know, nationwide and statewide, Republicans Democrats have a narrow majority in many cases, and in some issues have an outright and bipartisan majority on certain issues and topics. So Republicans will be caught up in
lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty
Empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
The Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudy takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I am not a criminal.
I worked for youth advocate programs, I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Because we put up one heck of a fight, and you know, he said a lot of other nice things, and people said, well, where's that guy who's very, you know, gentlemanly and very kind and not talking nonsense? But as I listened to it, I understood why Herschel Walker could give that speech. It was nothing more than the same speech every athlete gives when they lose a game, or every coach has to give his team when they lose a game, to say, you know, you fought the hard fight, you keep your head held high, you know, life's going to throw some tough ones at you. So in my mind, while it was nice that he actually gave a concession speech, because goodness knows, you know, Trump and others would have told him to just claim victory and then claim there was fraud. But he was man enough and graceful enough in defeat to give the concession speech, but I don't want to say that it's going to win him a Pulitzer or anything like that. You know, I mean, Walker is a multimillionaire businessman who's living in Texas, who faced questions about his past, his exaggerations of business achievements, academic credentials, his ex-wife's previous accounts of domestic violence, and of course the multiple allegations that he either sought with success or not for women to get abortions after becoming pregnant with him. So it was, I guess, a lot of people saying, how did this guy get to 49% in the first place? That's a whole different thing. That's a discussion for another time. What's important to note in the here and now is that people did the work. You know, politics is exhausting, especially when you have to go into overtime. And that's what had to happen here in Georgia. You think you're done November 8th. No, you've got to go till December 6th now. And Warnock did that. Warnock did that with a whole lot of help from folks around the country. Now, there was some distance from people near the top of the ticket. Warnock put some distance between himself and President Biden, whose approval ratings have lagged. He did bring in former President Barack Obama. As far as Walker, Herschel Walker avoided campaigning with Donald Trump, except for the final day when they did a conference call on Monday with their supporters. But ultimately, Herschel Walker joined Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, Blake Masters in Arizona, Adam Lexalt of Nevada, Don Bulldog of New Hampshire. These were all Trump loyalists and Trump-picked candidates who ultimately lost the races that Republicans once thought that they would, or at least could, win. And instead, every Senate incumbent who was running for re-election won. Now, sadly, that also includes Republican Ron Johnson, but you know, that's our own cross to bear here, because you know, we had our own version of Herschel Walker, but there were just enough people in Wisconsin who were going to look past that, who would have voted for a Herschel Walker if he were running up here. and, you know, instead are voting for Ron Johnson. And that's who we're going to get for, you know, another few years here, like 6 years, unless something comes up. All right, let's turn to TikTok. And I was going to ask Aaron when he comes back if he's, I don't know if he's on TikTok, because I don't, goodness knows, I don't spend a lot of time on TikTok, but apparently it's, what have I, I've certainly done my share of, you know, Instagram reels. Well, I wouldn't even say I've done my share of them. I've done them, but you know, all the kids are on TikTok, and I gotta ask if Aaron, if you've got an account, do we see you doing the Dougie or the Gritty or some other dancing on there?
Nope, none of those. I don't have a TikTok account. I am a sad old man, apparently, according to my friends.
Sad old man.
Most of them don't call me that, but there are a couple.
Well, look, I'm a little baffled, to be honest, about why there's suddenly a push now about TikTok and a concern that they're, you know, that the Chinese government can get data off of it and things like that. Because we'd heard that a couple of years back when TikTok first became a thing. And actually, that was why I was initially very slow to, you know, even create an account. In fact, I created and deleted like accounts three different times because I just wasn't sure if this was going to be a safe and reliable app. But it's, you know, it certainly has caught on. But I guess this is now a concern again that the Chinese government can get my data, to which I say, yeah.
Yeah, really. Like TikTok, if TikTok has these vulnerabilities, that's, of course, nothing new. Like cybersecurity, just like airport security, a lot of the time is just kind of a show. And yes, it catches a lot of things, but it can never be perfect is the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so Wisconsin's top Republicans released a letter to Governor Tony Evers on Tuesday. The state's Republican congressional delegation called on Evers to ban the popular video sharing app from state government devices and asked him to delete his own account, arguing that the Chinese government can use TikTok to spy on users and promote Chinese Communist Party propaganda. In the letter, of course, is the usual anti-China rhetoric from Brian Stile and Scott Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany and Glenn Grothman and Mike Gallagher, you know, and on it goes. Because again, these guys are, what was the old thing about Rudy Giuliani? Subject, verb, 9/11. You know, there needs to be something similar with these guys, because it's always, you know, it's either China or Mexican immigrants. I don't know if for Lent they could go 40 days without mentioning either one of these groups, because I'm not convinced they could go 40 minutes, because that seems to be what they think about most of the time. Well, Evers spokesperson Britt Cutaback had a great comeback on Twitter, again, to this letter that was sent to the governor. And Britt writes, quote, "My favorite part about Wisconsin Republicans' we want to work together narrative is when they send a formal 3-page letter that could have been a phone call, just so they can leak it to the press and get stories like this." In the spirit of bipartisanship, of course. So what she's saying correctly is, you know, it's nothing. It's a nothing burger. Yes, there are concerns about TikTok, but nothing that we haven't known already. And would I set up one as an official government account? Probably not. But, you know, does it require anything more than that? Does it require being banned in the U.S.? Well, if experts who look at this determine that there's a security risk, sure, you can look into it. But these are the same Republicans that love to talk about the free market deciding things, right? Let's take a break. More after this. This is Up North News Radio.
You are listening to
Locally Grown Radio. From Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. No one was moving, no one was there. The septic had backed up, there was yuck everywhere.
It wasn't a good thing, no, not at all. To have that smell linger through bathroom and hall, Mom was left crying, the kids plugged their noses, Dad tried to fix it with buckets and hoses. But then came the answer for everyone there. They called Crockett Septic in their time of despair. Crockett Septic came running with the help that they needed. The family was saved, the problem was treated. Crockett Septic had fixed it, the problem was gone. No smell in the house, no leak on the lawn. And now there's no reason for the family to cry. Even the Crockett Septic truck smelled like sweet cherry pie. They jumped in their honey wagon and drove out of sight with a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Crockett Septic can handle all your septic, holding tank, and porta potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 712-3456. Merry Christmas from everyone at Crockett Septic.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts,
the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged, and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive. Locally owned and putting you and the community first.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
.com and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Aaron Somers is here as well. And let's relive the 2020 election yet again, shall we? I know we just finished the 2022 midterms like an hour ago, but we're going to be talking about 2020 for some time to come because of, well, you know, that whole deadly, bloody, violent insurrection attack on Congress that happened, and trying to figure out all of the various ways that Donald Trump was part of a plot to interfere with what your choice was on election day. Whether you were for Trump or Biden, you had somebody trying to interfere with that and say, you know, it doesn't matter what you vote. We're going to look into that instead. Well, Now that the Republicans are taking over the U.S. House, the Department of Justice has appointed a special counsel so that everything is not necessarily in the hands of Attorney General Merrick Garland, but now in the hands of special counsel Jack Smith. Well, Smith has just subpoenaed local elections officials in Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Pennsylvania, asking for communications with or involving former President Trump, his campaign aides, and a whole list of allies involved in his efforts to try to overturn the election. The requests were issued to officials in Milwaukee and Dane counties in Wisconsin, as Smith oversees the investigation into the presence of classified documents at Trump's Florida estate and key aspects of a separate probe involving the January 6th attack on the Capitol and Trump's frantic efforts to remain in power. And we scoot over here to a Journal Sentinel story by Molly Beck, who says that the subpoenas to Wisconsin officials seek the records of communications with 19 people, including Dane County Attorney Jim Troupas, who, while representing Trump, worked to overturn Trump's loss in Wisconsin and other battleground states. That's according to a copy of the subpoena that went to Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald and Milwaukee County Clerk George Christensen. Now, McDonald was clerk during the 2020 election and the subsequent recounts of Dane and Milwaukee counties, during which Troupas sought to throw out hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots to overturn Trump's loss in Wisconsin. Christensen confirmed his office had received a subpoena. During a news conference, Christensen said he was working with their IT department to do a thorough and exhaustive search of the 19 individuals listed as part of the subpoena. Christensen said there'd been speculation as to whether they're looking into the slate of false electors across the country, which Troupas was involved in. They're looking at all the lawsuits involving the recounts, all of which failed. And frankly, Christensen and McDonald said they don't expect that there's going to be much of anything new that comes out of this. But again, you can understand why a special counsel would want to start with an exhaustive look at all of the communications to see if there is anything new that is to be learned about what Troupas was doing, about the lawsuits, and about the fake electors. He was instrumental. He played a role in getting that fraudulent ballot of fake electors to the office of Senator Ron Johnson for potential delivery to Vice President Mike Pence as the electoral votes were being counted on that fateful January 6th. Thankfully, Pence's office told an aide to Ron Johnson, do not bring that thing over here. And that part didn't happen. But again, whenever we hear about, you know, election ballot mules and other improprieties, you have to keep in mind the only thing that's actually been documented as an impropriety and as a potential mule was Ron Johnson and the fake electors in Wisconsin and other states. The subpoenas are the clearest indication yet, the Associated Press tells us, that Smith's work will include an examination of the fake electors that were part of Trump's effort to subvert the election count and certification. The subpoenas request any and all communication from, like I said, a list of 19 different folks. Nobody expresses any surprise. They expect that, you know, the special counsel is just going to collect all of this as part of this, as I mentioned, three-pronged probe into, you know, what all Trump was trying to do to make sure that your vote didn't count. So Trump allies in several states, when you think about Georgia, we had the Georgia Senate election yesterday. And Georgia is one of those states where Trump just came right out and said, I want you to find, you know, this number of votes. And he had hoped to find a compliant Secretary of State in Georgia that would have said, you know, okay, boss, I will do that. It didn't work that way. You know, there are still plenty of Republican officials, you know, with a soul, who aren't going to allow themselves to be manipulated in that way, or who are going to cheat. And many of them paid quite a price for it. A lot of the Republicans that stood up to Trump early on were defeated or forced into resignation. Think about that Arizona Secretary of State or that county official who testified before the January 6th committee. There was a lot of carnage. And yet, where did it lead Republicans when all was said and done? Trump won in 2016 over Hillary Clinton, despite losing the popular vote. He then helped Republicans lose ground in 2018. He lost in 2020, and Republicans lost control of Congress. Now all of Trump's back candidates lost again in 2022. He recently went so far as to say the Constitution should be terminated so that he can be reinstalled. He tried to walk it back, but again, he put it in writing. And so I'm just not sure how much more it will take, how much longer it will be before people again use the analogy that I've mentioned, the whole Emperor's New Clothes thing. How many more people are going to see that he is not wearing some regal robes and deserves to be put on a throne, but instead is, you know, markedly exposed to the world for what he is? Well, it's what's led to our question of the week. If you go to the Up North News Facebook page and scroll down, you probably have to scroll down a bit now because we've had a lot of posts this week, but eventually you will find a graphic that says our question of the week is, despite all of this, despite everything, do you think Trump will still be the Republican nominee for president in 2024? And we invite you to put your answer in the comment sections. And I went and looked through it last evening. And as you can imagine, by and large, people are saying no, you know, that Trump's goose is cooked and such. There was nobody saying, yes, he will definitely be the nominee. There were people that were, you know, trashing Joe Biden and mocking Democrats and things, but they couldn't bring themselves to actually say, Trump's still my guy. And, you know, so Aaron, I think it's still a very valid question, especially in light of Georgia, is, you know, what does Trump have left to take him toward the nomination? I think the only thing that could get him there is the same thing as 2016, a great big field of other candidates that dilutes the vote.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. But also, like, I think people who still support him at this point may have some delusions. Like, that's not to say that they're all bad people. It's just something must not be clicking because he, I don't know, everything he says is just worse and worse.
Yes, and look, when you look at the videos, and look, I understand that Comedy Central and other programs, you know, they're gonna look for the laughs, but you look at the videos of people at the Trump rally, and yeah, there's always gonna be goofballs at everything, you know, Republican, Democrat, or what have you. But I've got the sneaky suspicion the goofballs are a larger and larger percent of the crowd, and therefore a smaller and smaller share of the total electorate, to the point where, like any candidate, you can have a small but rabid following, and because it's a rabid following, you know, you think that there is going to be a clear path to victory. For Trump, it was only because there were a ton of Republican candidates, Scott Walker among them, who could not get out of each other's way fast enough to let Trump insult them, belittle them, badger them right out of the race. Scott Walker, after a record 71 days, other candidates weren't that far behind. There are going to be, at some point, a Republican or two who steps up. And then does that embolden, you know, a Ron DeSantis, you know, a Rubio, a Chris Christie, a Ted Cruz, you know, how many more, how many Republican governors say, I'm going to be the alternative to Trump? And if that field is big enough, and if Trump still at that point isn't facing criminal indictment, which in and of itself would be a crime, that's probably the only scenario. I think that the Trumpers themselves are going to be quieter, at least in the first few weeks of 2023. I think that Republicans running the U.S. House, as I mentioned earlier, will have their own, a circus of their own making to deal with. And none of them will be able to scare the other person going, oh, well, I'm more loyal to Trump than you are. And wait till he finds out that you're being mean to me. I don't think Trump is going to be nearly as much of a factor.
I sure hope so. I mean, I never thought he'd make it as far as he did in 2016 until we started seeing how things were going. But the kind of person that he demonstrated himself to be and the things that he consistently said the whole time, like, there's, it just still baffles me how he got so far, besides the fact that like he just had so much money.
6 years later, we're still at kind of a loss for words. I'd mentioned before that in 2016, I was living on an island in the Caribbean, and people, you know, throughout Grand Cayman would come up to me throughout 2016 and say, you're from America. Like, yeah. What's the deal with Donald Trump? I'd be like, I don't know. I've been here for the past 3 years. So the whole Trump phenomenon was completely lost on me. And so I just figured if I said to people enough times, you're supporting Donald Trump, you know, who, Donald Trump, you know, we're talking about Donald Trump here. And I thought that would snap people out of it. It did not. That turned out to be a terrible tactic. People apparently loved him all the more when you said, you know, you're supporting that guy. So he got what he got, but folks, it's been nothing but, you know, losses ever since. All right, on the history books, we're going to do music history in a bit, but of course it's also a very solemn occasion, December 7th, and there are still a handful of centenarian survivors of the attack on Pearl Harbor, and they will gather at the scene of the Japanese bombing sometime today to commemorate those who perished. Now it's 81 years ago, and that's obviously fewer in recent years when a dozen or more would travel to Hawaii from across the country to pay their respects. The youngest active duty military personnel on December 7th, 1941, would have been 17. That would make them 98 years old today. Many of those who are still alive, the survivors, are 100 years old or more. But they will again remember the 2,400 servicemen who were killed in the bombings, which launched the U.S. into World War II. The USS Arizona alone lost 1,177 sailors and Marines, nearly half the death toll there on the Arizona. They will mark the first explosions that started just about 8 a.m., and they will remember the bravery of those who tried to fight back but were caught off guard and were outnumbered. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs does not have statistics for how many Pearl Harbor survivors are still living, but department data show that of the 16 million people who served in World War II, about 240,000 were alive as of August. About 230 World War II veterans die each day. So we're just over 200,000 of that 16 million people who made up that greatest generation, who made those sacrifices, and who every day for these past 80 years have either been haunted by some memories or have been grateful to have served alongside people that they lost. I hope they know again today that a grateful nation of people too young to remember that time remembers them, that we have not forgotten and we will never not be grateful. Music history after this on Up North News Radio.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about. But you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Degrees. The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Oh, 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 oh.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Look, I'm not going to tell you that the mid-1970s was the golden age of rock and roll. It wasn't even close. But there were more than a couple of goofball or novelty hits. And, of course, with the series Kung Fu on TV, the song Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas hit number one on this day in 1974. It would be number one for 2 weeks. The song was originally a B-side that was slapped together in about 10 minutes, which again tells you I wouldn't expect to see this one in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anytime soon. Let's see. Let me get back up to the top of my list here. We're going to do what? Better Than the Real Thing is up next. Well, that must be because you too went to number one on the U.S. album chart with Achtung Baby on this day in 1991. While that plays, let me give you a couple of other historical notes. On this day in 1972, the last Apollo moon mission launched. That was Apollo 17. And the noteworthy thing about that, besides it being the last moon mission of our era so far, is that the crew had, you know, better cameras than ever before. And one of the photographs that they took as they were leaving Earth toward the moon is the one that is best remembered and most used. It's the one called the Blue Marble. And again, really should have brought home to more folks, you know, that this is it. This is the only planet we've got. There is no planet B. What do you say we take care of that? On this day in 2003, Britney Spears had her fourth studio album, In the Zone, hit number one on the album chart, breaking her own record of most consecutive albums released by a female artist to debut at number one with songs like Outrageous. We've got some birthdays to talk about. Let's see. The original voice of Donald Duck, Clarence Nash. Clarence Ducky Nash, voice of Donald Duck, was born on this day in 1904. Noam Chomsky is 94 years old today. Basketball legend Larry Bird is 66. And Sarah Bareilles is 43. You, of course, know her for Love Song. Head underwater. I just heard this on the radio yesterday or the day before, and it made me wonder. I did not know the backstory. If this was I'm assuming it was a boyfriend. No, Aaron tells me in the notes here that the singer-songwriter, got the song to number four after having written it as a response to her record label, attempting to force her to write a new love song. What's that about? I can't. You turn to your singer and go, you've got some good songs here, but write another love song. What?
Yeah, and then she just had the, I don't know, the courage to instead write a song that just says, no, screw you, I'm not going to write you a love song. And then it goes to number four in the U.S. and it still gets radio play.
And you know whoever that person at the record company was is taking credit for it, going, oh, yeah, I mean,
oh,
she
definitely
thinks I'm a dick, but, you know, it's, I got her there. I pushed her. I always hate when people do that, because sometimes it's just sometimes, yes, you can rightly take credit for forcing somebody out of their comfort zone and good things get done. And sometimes you're just a jerk, and that's what results from it. So birthday greetings to Sarah Bareilles, who turns 43 years old today. I was looking at things that the next Congress could take up, because in our next hour, I'm going to talk to our friend Senator Jeff Smith about things that the legislature could be taking up in the new year. One thing that we haven't talked about enough is about bipartisan, real immigration reform. What you had was, you know, Ron Johnson, his billionaire backers, Tim Michaels, others, just shamelessly painting all immigrants with a broad brush. You know, that ugly streak that we've had in our country for about as long as we've had a country. And it's unfortunate. It makes me wish that each of our own ancestors could somehow make a brief appearance and remind some of these folks of just how ugly and hurtful their words are, how those same words were used against, you know, their great-grandparents back in the day. And that wouldn't it be a better thing? Again, the win-win. Wouldn't the win-win be about pursuing something that is workable, especially as the baby boomers continue to age and retire and we have a labor shortage? And yet, as Greg Sargent tells us from the Washington Post, for many election cycles, the party of quote-unquote border security has largely failed for the GOP. They have dumped enormous resources into painting migrants in the most lurid and threatening terms imaginable. Now, before this current Congress ends, he writes, Republicans have a chance to do something new. Rather than treating the southern border as a blank screen upon which to project their storehouse of demagoguery, looking at you, Tom Tiffany and others, maybe they could support an emerging compromise with an actual shot at achieving a more orderly border. Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina and Democrat Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona have reached agreement on a draft framework of immigration reform compromises that involve the fate such as the Dreamers who were brought here as children and the processing of asylum seekers at the southern border. The question is whether 10 Republican senators can be found to overcome a filibuster and finally provide bipartisan immigration reform that would include some path of citizenship for 2 million Dreamers, a large boost in resources to speed up the processing of asylum seekers, more resources to expedite the removal of migrants who don't qualify for asylum, and more funding for border officers. The idea behind the compromise, Greg Sargent writes, is simple. It gives Democrats protection for 2 million Dreamers and strengthened defenses of the due process rights of migrants. It gives Republicans faster removal from the country of migrants who fail to qualify for asylum, a continued restriction on applications for the next year, and more border security. The boost in resources would hopefully reduce the strain at the border by moving people through the process more quickly. And as they move through the process more quickly, they can become the upstanding citizens and neighbors that we would want, that we would expect, and that our nation and our economy needs. Now, granted, there's going to be the Tucker Carlsons out there who are going to push back and call it some kind of a betrayal. But if you can pull some of the Republicans who are retiring and some of the Republicans like Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski, if they can stand up and back this before this Congress is done, you finally solve something. The question for Republicans is, do you want to solve this? Or is it a convenient scapegoat that you're going to use year after year after year. Again, looking at you, Tiffany. Style.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
WF